Hi, everybody, and welcome to our first podcast, The Wilderness People and the Wilderness Way. So wherever you are from around the country or around the world, we just want to welcome you. I just want to introduce everybody. Firstly, I've got Danny Lungstrup on my right-hand side, got Maddie Stewart, and then Paul Costello. And this morning, we're going to be unpacking what the true gospel is, because I believe that the most contentious issue in the body of Christ today and in the days to come, in these last days, it's going to be the gospel that you have received. Whether that is the gospel of man through the articulation of words, and you've made a mental agreement and a verbal agreement, an intellectual agreement with that gospel, or the gospel of works versus the gospel of power, where Jesus Christ himself has literally taken you from death to life, from a caterpillar to a butterfly, where you've been completely transformed through the power of God, through the grace of God. And I believe what the Father has been speaking to me over the number of months, saying the most contentious issue in the body is going to be the gospel you have received. So we, over a period of podcasts, are going to be sharing what this true gospel is, the work it performs in us and through us, and just what it enables us to walk in the manner of Jesus Christ himself. I want to start firstly with looking at one particular passage of scripture in Galatians 1 verses 15 to 16. And as we know, Paul wrote this, and Paul wrote 13 books or letters to the churches. And if there was one man that we were to look at as to who had experienced the true gospel, it would be Paul, because he went and was transformed from a man by name of Saul to a man by Paul. Mm-hmm. And really, he went from life to death. And so I just want to read out Galatians 1, 15 to 16, and then we're going to unpack there with a series of questions. So these are the words of Paul. He went, "But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood." And that's Galatians 1, 15 to 16. So first person I want to ask is Paul Costello. Nothing like Saul and Paul, but Paul. First question for you, buddy, is what spiritual state was Paul in as Saul before his "but when God" moment? And how does that relate to us?
In a spiritual sense, that he was dead to God, and that there was something that needed to transpire within him in order to receive or to hear from God, which he thought he was hearing from God, and was actively in pursuit of the way he thought God would have him be. But when God intervened, he realized, or he came to realize, that the state that he was in was actually dead to God.
And when you say dead, you're talking spiritually dead, right?
Spiritually so dead.
Spiritually cut off, even though physically alive, which can be a little bit trippy, right? Because we're born and we go, "What do you mean I'm dead? Yeah. I'm alive. I'm here. I'm breathing." Any thoughts around that, Danny?
You know, as we know, Saul was, as Paul said, what we would probably term in a form of godliness, was pursuing God zealously in all the traditions of man and the culture of where he was born into, in terms of his natural culture, but also the culture of the learning and the way that you would attain godliness or righteousness. But God, he shows up and shows him who he truly is, not who Saul had made him out to be. Rather than trying to attain godliness as us trying to work that, God comes and steps into us and into our lives to show us that's not the way.
Mm. And how does that relate to us as a whole? So we're talking about Saul being obviously dead when he's born and not realizing that because he's physically alive. Mm. How does that impact us as humanity, knowing that we're actually born spiritually dead and separated from God?
I mean, I know for myself, and I believe that's the case for everyone, that you have to come to the place of actually understanding that or receiving the revelation of that. Mm. Because I think back, way back, even as a young fella, in church services, you know, crying out, oh, God, just show me you're real. You know, I was brought up in the Catholic faith and would go to Mass and what have you, and I'd be looking at the statues or the crucifix and going, well, just no one else has to see. Just give me a wink. Give me a nod, you know, and coming through to this to the point where I eventually did call out for him and on his name, on the name of Jesus, and then growing in my knowledge about him from them, but not actually realizing I was starting from a position of actually being dead.
Mm.
And it wasn't even until more recent years that that's really hit home and realizing actually from the place of actually being dead in my lost state and in my sins, how can I actually come to know him when I'm dead?
Mm.
And there's going to take a greater act to happen within me to actually bring me to life, to know him the way that he's going to reveal himself to me, not just the fact that in a dead state, I'm trying to learn about him. And so that I can see that unless that actually happens, we'll start forming up our form of way that we would know him,
yeah,
which might be just off or miles off.
Which the scriptures speak to, don't they? They call it a form of godliness where we, as gods of our own lives, create God in our own image. And then we go to work building a God in our image, and that God pretty much tells us what we want it to tell us. But unfortunately, we're building separate to God himself. And so although we think we might know him, although we think we might be doing it his way, we're really doing it our own way. And we're creating a God in our image, the very thing God told us not to do. Maddie, any thoughts around Paul, Saul, Paul, the but God moment? Have you had one of those moments in your own life, maybe?
Yeah, I was just thinking about what Paul said in terms of the death to life. I know for myself that I didn't know I was dead until life was literally received within, and then I knew, wow, I'd been living as a dead man the whole way, you know, the whole of my life. I even think about how the transition from Saul to Paul happened, that he had to be blinded from the way he was living, eh? And that's what he does with us, that he has to take us to the place where we have to let go of everything that we think is life. And then he brings us to the place of surrender where we actually cry out for the real thing. And then the receiving happens, and then life is birthed, and then you don't go back there. And I think that's the difference between, you know, the dead state that I was in and then the new life that was received, is you truly don't go back to that position again where you're applying the same principles, thinking it's going to bring something within you, birth life or produce life. You're forever chasing life.
Yeah. And I think one of the hardest things to do, right, without revelation is recognize that you're actually born dead. Most people think they're good. Most people think, you know, it's about getting better. Mm. So we go, we're not that bad, but if we just get a little bit better and if we make some changes here, then we're okay. And so very much we can receive a gospel like that. We can believe a gospel like that. So we believe it's more of a gospel of enhancement because we're really not that bad and we're okay. And we just need to be tweaked here and there. We know we're not perfect, right? Everyone knows they're not perfect, but actually we think we're doing fine compared to this guy beside me, right? Yeah. So compared to Danny, I'm actually doing okay. The problem is it's not a comparing to Danny, it's comparing to God himself.
Yeah.
That's right.
And as we know, the scriptures say that we're born in iniquity. So we're born with a nature which is separated from God. And because of that nature, we can't live to the standard that we've been created to live towards because we are separated from him. And so this is a significant problem for us as humanity, which we can't fix ourselves. And yet so often we think we can. So often we think if I just make this modification to my life, or if I do this, or I find that person, or if I find this, then you know what? That'll fix the issue.
Mm.
But the issue cannot be fixed from ourselves because we're actually dead, even though we do breathe. And I had my but when God moment when I was 29. And it was quite an powerful and empowering time. And to realize that you're not who you think you were and life isn't quite as you thought it was. And you've been trying to create your own life for this length of time. And it's quite an awakening moment, really, isn't it? It's quite an aha moment. And certainly Paul had one of these moments, and he continued to have these moments. And as you mentioned, Maddie, on the road to Damascus, where God blinds him, because he really is the greatest example of someone who was predestined to be a son, but started his life as a slave, really to religion, as opposed to a relationship, although he was created for relationship. And we're going to get onto this with some of these other questions. So what does it mean, guys, for Paul to be set apart by God in his mother's womb?
Our image of God is what we've often made it to be. And when we have a God that sees set apart since from your mother's womb, and in other places where every day of your life is ordained before one came to be, and I knew you before the creation of the world, it's like, whoa, he's a little bit bigger than I imagined him to be. And not only that, when we look at the life of Saul in particular, in his trying to attain, I don't know, godliness or walking it out what he thought it was, he in fact was doing the exact opposite. He was not love as God is love, and was killing and imprisoning people. But God allowed that because he was predestined, as you say, for God's purposes. God had already marked him. And so in God, while that is obviously not his way, God knew that this was going to have to be the journey that Saul needed to walk out in order to become Paul. And so in God, he allowed what wasn't his way in order to show what his way actually is.
Yeah, which really opens up a whole other can of worms, really, doesn't it, when it comes to questions about who God is.
Yeah,
that we won't go there today, but I think it's a fascinating reality that this knowing of God, which is required through revelation, through the Spirit, as opposed to your own interpretation from what you think. And the reason why it's so important that we, as being born spiritually dead, don't create God in our own image, because that will really mess you up. Because the reality is, what we're saying is, Saul was someone that was going about persecuting the church and persecuting Jesus himself in the church. And it appears that God was sort of okay with that for the purpose of greater purposes. And so although God might not be okay in the sense of fully okay, he's like, well, actually, look, this is going to happen until this man finally realizes who he actually is. And so God's purposes are not our purposes, are they?
That's right.
And we can look at that and go, that's not very fair. That's not very right. But we don't get to do that, because we're the creation. We're not the creator. Right. And we don't get to determine what is and what's fair. Mm. And the reality is, if God gave us what is fair, none of us would be here having this podcast right now, right?
That's right.
And so I'm forever grateful that God doesn't give us what's fair.
That's right.
And that we don't get to play that card. And he has a wisdom far beyond us. Thoughts, Paul?
Yeah, just I was thinking, he says that, you know, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. My ways are far above yours. And in fact, if I could work out his thoughts, he's a pretty small God. So I can be thankful that I can't. And so there comes that matter of going, actually, well, you're God. You are God. And I don't know if you remember, it was a conversation we had years ago when it sort of struck on that, went, man, he's but when God. So up until that point, as you're just saying, Danny, God was hands off in that sense, as that was outworking, that, man, he's putting people, believers, in jail, persecuting them, you know. And there's another thing I saw in that, as the very words that Jesus then speaks, he said, well, who are you? He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And at this point, Jesus is identifying himself in those who believed in him.
Mm.
As you hit them, you're hitting me. And I thought, what a beautiful testimony for you and me, for those who believe in him and received him in, that you're saying, I am in you, you're part of me. And just that whole state of realizing there's a time, God's timing is perfect for his timing purposes.
Mm.
These are the words that David writes in Psalms, and he says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows this very well." This is from a man who's not actually writing about this. He's testifying about this. For now there's something that he knows, just like Paul's able to write in here, something now that he knows, that I'd been set apart in my mother's womb. Before this moment happened, already set apart for you. I just had to come into that place of knowing this. It says, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." And is that the case for me?
Mm.
That the Lord knows my days, that they're ordained. When I receive from him that he has these days ordained for me, he knows, he's calling me into that knowledge of him, that I can receive the knowledge of him, and he has set me apart for him. And now I no longer need to be living, trying to make myself right for him, to get to him, but that he's really established the path for me to receive him.
Yeah. And this is why it's essential, right, that we receive the true gospel, not just the gospel of mental agreement, not just the gospel of verbal agreement, the gospel of intellectualism, you know, the gospel of works, but we receive Jesus himself, which is what we're going to look at with Paul, because Paul said, "I received Jesus Christ, who is the Passover, who is the resurrection, who is the life." So I didn't necessarily receive what he did, I received who he was.
Yeah.
And as I received who he was, what he did came alive in me, because he is one. So who he was and what he did, but the is informed the doing element of it. And so often we can just say, "Yeah, I agree with what he did," and then struggle to live. But Paul didn't do that. Paul received who Jesus was, and he testifies of this. But you've got this pattern where he's realizing, not as Saul, but as Paul, that he was predestined to be Paul. And I find this incredible, because I want to just ask you this, Maddie. Do you think if we all got a revelation that before we ever messed up, we were, that we would ever struggle with rejection or acceptance as people?
No, I don't believe that at all. In that when you received the revelation that he had predestined you before this life, you would never struggle with rejection, like you say.
That would literally take it away, wouldn't it? Because you're actually saying, "I've been accepted," because that's why people struggle. We struggle with rejection because we're being rejected by a person, and yet God never rejects those who are his. And so actually at the receiving of God, the great I am, it heals me instantly.
Mm.
And everyone's looking to be accepted. You know, when we're born, a child comes out looking, "Well, who are my mum and dad? Who am I?" Who, you know, and looking for this acceptance. And yet so often we can be, we can search our whole life never feeling accepted. That's and right. Constantly feeling rejected. And I guess on one aspect, Saul has no revelation of this. And then as he comes into, through receiving the true gospel of receiving Jesus, what already was is now being made known to him. And it's the same for us. You know, I searched for 29 years looking for life. And although I would say I never so much struggled with the a spirit of rejection, I was looking for life. And so when finding life, who is the Christ, I start realizing I was predestined to be someone I wasn't born. But a mental agreement gospel or a works-based gospel doesn't bring me into that.
No.
That just has me being really busy doing things for God, as opposed to knowing God and knowing who I am in God and living from that is that state of being position, as opposed to a Christianity, which is a doing reality. Although we are called to do certain things, but based from a being state. So I say this, there are doers who do, and there are beers who express what it is to be Christ-like. And Saul didn't start that way, as we know. As he became Paul, he transitions from death to life, and then he actually started living this. And what we see through his letters is his testimony of his transformation of receiving the true gospel. But I just love the fact that he's predestined, like Paul said in Psalms, that, you know, that God chose our days before there was yet one. Perfectly made. And I agree with you. I agree that a revelation of that would heal so many broken hearts.
Absolutely.
Anyone want to share anything else in relation to either of those two questions?
I think just one thing else, which I believe you've already read, you've already said that even the picture of a child being in the womb, like, you know, it's a separate dark place. And what I see also is it's an isolation from the world, that before you ever entered this world, before you were claimed by the world, before you were claimed by your mother, you're mine, you were first his. And I think that's such a powerful picture of, you know, that's everything you've been called to be, and yet that is absolute freedom, eh?
That is very powerful. And yet then born lost to that reality and in need for someone else to come and bring me back to that reality, because I'm concealed from him even though I'm created in him.
Mm.
And so because I'm concealed and he's concealed, then I cannot know who I am. And so although I've been predestined to be in this position, I'm born out of it. But in the spirit where I was made, I was born in it. And this is fascinating, because this is really where it all starts, of knowing him and who you are in him. But only the gospel of power can reveal all that.
That's right.
So a mental agreement can't grasp that. As good as mental agreement or mental understanding might be, it can't grasp the magnitude. So it's good, but it's not life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we all go on this pursuit, right, of trying to find life.
Mm.
We're all wired for life. We're wired to find life. Mm. And yet we find it in so many other things, and we don't find life. And Jesus said, I'm life.
Mm.
And yet so often as Christians, we go, yeah, I've got Jesus, but I need this other thing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, that means he's not enough, and he is enough. And it's the true gospel that makes you aware that he is all you need.
Mm.
That's right.
Any other thoughts, guys, on?
Oh, I loved what you just shared, Maddie. And as you were talking about that, and then you talked about the concealing. It's like, you know, the baby in the womb, life is concealed from them. They can't see.
Mm.
Right? And then they're born and then they can see. At least that's the physical reality, right? And it's the same, that's what Paul gives testimony to. So when we come to Christ, when he does make himself known, we have now eyes to see, but we end up being, I guess, falsely taught. We end up going into a system of Christianity, and it's like a baby that's born. Oh, wow, it's life. And then God steps in your life and goes, well, actually, no, that wasn't life. You were actually dead. You could see.
Yeah.
Most of us that probably may not receive that true gospel, him in us in power, a mental agreement, and then we try and outwork it. And so we think we're seeing, and people are telling us, and Christianity is telling us, but actually we're dead. But we think we're seeing, just like a baby. Baby thinks it's seeing life and experiencing life.
Yeah.
And so even in following him, we still need that but God moment, because Paul would say, I was following God.
Absolutely.
It says that we must be born again. So there's this wrestle that goes on until this is revealed both to and in us. That he says there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. So I don't actually understand what this battle is and how this works out. I'll battle the spirit and the flesh.
Mm.
And so the flesh will be trying to outwork all of this, as we've been talking about, and trying to do the very thing that's not going to achieve the outcome that you're actually trying to get to. It's like two magnets pushing against each other. And, you know, in Colossians, chapter 1, he reads, he says, this has just spoke to me just during the week, and I thought, how come I didn't see this slide when I read it before? all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Well, all is pretty all-covering, encompassing. And it doesn't leave much out because it means all. And all means me and you. And this is what we were talking before about, if you realize, and this is received in you, not just heard, going, yeah, well, that's important, but received, then the inner man, the inner issues of rejection and hurt and pain and the search to try and quell that is actually dealt with, because I have been made, created through him, for him, and he holds me together.
Mm.
Now we're going to go on this journey and outwork this. But it takes us birthing again, because to be born again, I must be born again, not by the will of man or the action of man, but it's by the will of the Father, and still must come through this process now of actually, we even sing a song, and we can sing it with great gusto, some perhaps better than others.
And we're not going to start now, are we?
You know, but we'll sing the song, I once was blind, but now I see.
Mm.
Until you can actually see, then that's just a really good song.
Mm.
But now the outwork, what you're saying is that the outworking of the truth of that song actually now becomes self-evident, because it's not seen with these eyes, it's seen coming out of me.
That's right. So thanks for being part of the very first podcast, guys, on the Wilderness People and the Wilderness Way. And we look forward to seeing you very soon.